whose names are in the book of life. So the exhortations he gives is to stand firm, verse 1, and do it in the Lord. And then he says to be in unity and do that in the Lord. And then he says in verse 4, I want you to rejoice, and I want you to know what it means to have joy and to live peacefully in this life. So he says, rejoice and do it in the Lord. I think you get the picture. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, we'll say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness, let your gentleness, let your patience, however that may be translated, I think either is fine, let it be known to everyone, to all men, every man you come in contact, every woman, every boy, every girl, let them see your gentleness. Don't be a hard person. Be a loving person. Don't be cantankerous. Don't be a troublemaker. Be a loving person, stirring peace, not trouble. He says, and then he makes his comment, for the Lord is at hand. The Lord is near. Why should I stand fast? Why should I live in unity with my brothers in Christ? Why should I let my reasonableness and gentleness be shown to everyone that I come in contact? Because the Lord's at hand. It motivates me to do so, because God's going to judge all of us one day. And though we will not fall into the judgment of condemnation by the Lord Jesus Christ, we at the same time will fall under a judgment in the sense that we will be judged according to our works. And the one thing I don't want to come against me is that I was a crude person to people, or that I was a troublemaker and I stirred up problems in the church and outside the church, or that I didn't stand firm and persevere unto the end with the Lord. I don't want that ever said of me. And I know that won't be said of me, because he who loves the Lord will persevere unto the end, because God keeps him and preserves him and helps him to persevere. We were talking in our class of Colossians, and this one thing about perseverance came up, and, you know, about Demas, and how do we know Demas was a Christian? How do you explain all that? Listen, all I know, that my friend, if you were ever caught in a situation and put in a situation when you say, I don't think I could stand, I think I'd have fear if someone were to point a gun at my head and say, you know, renounce Christ or die. My friends, I say that a true believer in the time of need, God will grant preservation for you, just like he did through all the martyrs and for all the martyrs throughout church history, biblical history. I am saying to you that God preserves his people, and his people, because of his preserving hand, persevere unto the end. So yes, in the very end, I believe that God will give you strength to stand firm, as verse 1 says. But then he makes his comment. Of all the things that he tells us, and we've been over this before, a lot of it's repetitive, but please don't lose this. As we've seen before, he makes this among the things that he exhorts the church at the very end. He says in verse 6 and 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. He uses three words there for prayer. He says, prayer, supplication. He says, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Request is another word for prayer. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What is he saying? Why? Why does he feel a need at this time, in this juncture, to exhort the church not to worry? Because if there's one thing we do, and we do well, it's worry. And not only do we do that well, but we worry about the smallest details of everything in life, don't we? How do I know that? Because I'm that man. If there is anybody, if you can look up anxiety in the dictionary, my picture would probably be there. This passage of Scripture is written for you, and it's written especially for me. And he says, listen, he talks about at the end, I want you to live, go through life without anxiety and worry. How many things are we to worry about right now? Nothing. That's what Paul says. How many of you are in a state, I wonder, of worry, of concern, of anxiety? How many have worried? How many will worry? You better believe you will. Because Satan has a way of bringing things up in your life to cause you to worry. And by the way, anxiety is a result of the fall of man. I believe that we worry because it's a part of the sin problem that we're facing. So he exhorts us to be not to be anxious, but to be what? Prayerful. How many things are we to worry about? Nothing. How many things that we're to be prayerful about? Everything. There is nothing too small that you can't bring to God. There is nothing too big that you can't bring to God. So in telling us this, he is revealing that anxiety, worry, is not a good thing. If it's a good thing, he wouldn't have a problem. He wouldn't be telling us to stop it. It's not a good thing. It wasn't a good thing for Martha when Jesus went to the home of Mary and Martha. And you may say, well, Martha was doing a good thing. She was serving. She was busy about doing. Yes, but Jesus said to her, what you're doing, you do it with anxiety and you're troubled. All her duties and responsibilities and who knows what else is put on her shoulders, either by will or somebody else was putting it on her shoulders, her responsibilities led her to anxieties. That's the way life is. It's the way it works. And I'm telling you now, this probably is one of the greatest verses that we need to commit to memory and to know at least where to find in all of the scriptures, because we will never fail to go probably a day without some type of worry. And the worries can be ad infinitum about anything and everything, about our family, about our health, about our finances, about whether every detail is going to be just perfect when somebody comes to the house or doesn't come to the house. I got a call yesterday, and it was from my daughter, and she accidentally busted a pipe, and I was cutting wood, and Faith told me, said, hey, Grace needs you. She busted pipe, and you could probably see the blood just go out of my face. Because if you don't know me, I don't do stuff like this. Other people do stuff like they have been gifted to do stuff like this. But I said, I got to do what I got to do. This is going to be the worst job. I don't know if she'll ever have water again. But my daughter is so funny because at least I knew this. I knew how at least the water works. There's a lot of pressure and you got to turn off the water. She doesn't know. She doesn't even know where to turn off the water. She's fixing to go and do the electric, the breaker in the house to turn the water off. So I'm glad you didn't. And so I'm trying to get over there. I've got to figure out where the water is. But before I get there, she is literally drenched. She's 8 months pregnant. Drenched. She has put everything in that pipe to hold that water in. She put a broom and it shot out like it was a spear. She put her foot. I said, well, how long was that going to last? When did you figure out you can take your foot off? Or how long are you going to keep it on there? And when I got there, I said, what is that noise? I go over there and there's a huge cinder block on top of this feeble PVC pipe. Going to stop the water. I guess if you can't see it, it's not doing any harm, right? Anxiety was to the nth degree with me because this woman's not going to get a bath. The kids are going to have to come over to my house and get a bath. This is torture. So a level of anxiety hit me. And then Paul says, have the audacity to say, don't worry about anything. Well, apparently Paul was a little better with plumbing than I am. But there's always something to be anxious about. But don't let your daytime and everyday things, your responsibilities, be an opportunity for worry, as Satan can do that. This is the way that it's written when Paul says, do not be anxious about anything. The way it's written indicates that this is a prohibition to stop doing what you're doing. Stop doing what you have been doing. For some reason, there's anxiety and a level of anxiety in their congregation. And I don't know what it is. It could be from chapter 1, verses 28 and 29. He starts talking about their opponents. When your opponents come against you, And so that's a level, that can bring a level of anxiety, can it? I remember years ago taking taekwondo when I was a lot younger, and I just realized how fat, some of you have already told me how fat I've gotten, but I realized how fat I am in those pictures, and that's a horrendous thing. But I remember in taekwondo, I had to go against this guy and spar, and I was a lot smaller. You're not small now. I got you. I get the fat jokes, people. I get the fat jokes. But I remember sparring against this guy, and he had tree trunks for legs. He was actually a professional wrestler in Europe. And he comes, and he's about my height. And I was scared to death of him. The level of anxiety in me was off the charts. And Paul sits here, and he says, listen, I want you to stop doing what you're doing. You're worrying. I want you to stop it. They were habitually worrying. And Paul exhorts them just to stop. Stop your continual worry. You know what worrying is? It's brooding. It's brooding. It's pondering over things. And you know when it usually happens? At night. Especially at night. Worry is that tension between the heart and the mind. So it's not an issue, anxiety and worry is not an issue merely of stop worrying, but it's more of an issue of start trusting. Because worry is a fight against the flesh. Worry is a fight against the flesh that rebels against the sufficiency of Jesus Christ in our lives and for our lives. What I mean by that is that when I begin to allow worry to overcome my life, I am saying to God that I don't trust you enough to handle this thing, whether it's big or small. And I am saying that the sufficiency of Christ overcomes worry, but not only that. God, Paul tells us how to deal with it, but anxiety is something that affects every one of us. In some form, in some fashion, in some degree, in some level. Martin Lloyd-Jones quoted Psalm 3:5. He says, I lay me down and slept, and I awake, for the Lord sustained me. He said the great problem in life is, in a sense, how to lay oneself down to rest and sleep. And anyone can lay down, but the question is, can you sleep? And Miss Patty read this morning out of Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 and following. Why are you worrying? Stop your worrying. Can you do one thing about it? And then he doesn't just simply say, stop it. He's saying, look to who? God. That's a key component. You know what worry is? It's a thief. It's a robber. And it robs you of the joy and the peace that God wants you to come and to embrace. Why do I say that? Because verse 7 says, is that when you go to God in prayer, in supplication with thanksgiving, and let your requests be known to God, then the peace of God. Because see, worry and peace can't go together. They never do. So it's a robber. It's a thief. And it will steal. And it will destroy. It does that. Worry may be so consuming that you can't sleep at night. There's a real problem. Worry, I believe, is a faith issue. Do I trust God with what I'm dealing with? It's a real problem, but there's a real provision. The exhortation is to stop worrying, but notice what he says. He says, do not be anxious, present tense, about anything. I think that's pretty clear. So you can't sit here and look at me and say, yeah, but you don't know. No. God knows. There's nothing that is right. There is nothing in your life that is right about worrying about. Because it's a thief. And it steals from the glory of Christ. How does it steal from the glory of Christ? It steals from the glory of Christ by putting all the attention on you or your issue or your problem. And what needs to be center, front and center in our lives is the glory of Jesus Christ. But he says, listen, stop being anxious about anything. But, I love that. He says, but there's a transition. Here's the provision. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request, the supplication is what we need, is our need. The request is us asking for that. So both of those are okay. God knows that we have need, and God knows that we need to go to Him with that need. You don't have to feel guilty about that. And so here we find ourselves. Paul says, here's the exhortation. Stop worrying, but be prayerful. And this is important because it doesn't simply tell us to stop worrying. He knows that's not possible. Like everything in the Christian walk, we need God's provision of strength, and we need God's provision of His might to overcome. That's why these little phrases are so important in the New Testament. By the Lord's strength, by the Lord's power, by His might. And even overcoming anxiety and worry is something that God must do in our lives. And what the means by which He does that work of bringing peace is through prayer, supplication, making our requests known to God. He said, I've tried that. But maybe you haven't tried it like this, because this is what it dawned on me today, this morning. This is not a one-time fix-it for worry. Man, I'm glad I was here Sunday, because now I'll never worry again. It doesn't say that. This is not a one-time for all fix-it over worry. It is found, beloved, in a context. The provision to overcome worry is found in a context of prayer and of worship. And if you have not and I have not disciplined ourselves to be men and women who pray and who worship as we pray, then we are going to be overcome with worry. And why do I say worship? Because there are three significant words here for prayer, but one of them means, it's the stem of the first word when he says, but by prayer, it means to worship. Part of my coming to God is not simply to let Him know I have a need and if He would meet that need. Me coming to God first and foremost involves worship. If I am going to overcome worry in my life each and every moment, and this can happen all day long, can it? All day long you find something. Oh, I've got something on the books. Oh, something in work is just creating this tension, or something in the family, or something in the marriage, or with your kids. There's always something, and it's always throughout the day. It's not like you go through one and then that's it. All throughout the day. So what am I talking about? It's always in the context of prayer and worship. And this is not the worship necessarily that he's talking about. Because when I'm riding down the street and I'm worried about something, I can't stop in at the church. My worship is found in my prayer closet. That's what he means. Modern philosophy tells us just stop worrying because it may never happen. Stop worrying because it won't make a bit of difference. That might be true. If this were true, if it was that easy, I'd do that. But I don't have control over my mind and my heart like that. I need God to help me to have control over my mind and my heart. Aren't you sick of worry? Aren't you sick of the fear of worry? I don't know what may come tomorrow. I don't either. And that's why the Bible talks about this little thing called faith. If I knew what was coming tomorrow, I don't think I'd want to get out of bed. But God has designed this thing called faith. And God has said, listen, this faith is not about you. It's about me. Trust in me. Worry is not overcome by you just stopping it. Worry is overcome when God intervenes in your life. And God intervenes in your life when you begin to worship Him in your prayer time. And you can do that while you're writing. This is a faith issue. How do you deal with it? You just stop it? Just change your perspective? Just start hanging around positive people? Maybe you become a positive person and no worry? That's a lie. There's a constant in this broken world. And it's worry. It's anxiety. And you're never going to get rid of this. You're never going to elude it. You're never going to shake it off. As long as you live in this world, this broken world, you will address it. And God was kind enough to say, this is how I want you to deal with it. Why do we forsake that? This is a faith issue. Do I believe God? I don't care what it is. I want you to stop because you're looking at me and you're thinking of some big thing that may be in your life. I'm not talking about a big thing. Will my chainsaw crank so I can get this work done because it's piling up? And we start worrying about that. Now they're not open. Is my car going to crank this morning? You see? And we start worrying about these little things. One thing, I got to be honest because I'm not real spiritual all the time. My father-in-law drove me nuts, and I don't know if he'll listen to this. He probably won't, so I think I'm safe. But when we would do work, and I think he would break things just to fix them, we would do work, and it wouldn't work out. And me being the preacher, I'm sitting there because I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just watching him. That's the way I work. I watch him. And he says, son, you need to pray. And it always embarrassed me when he said that. I'm not in prayer mode. I don't feel like praying. I just want the lawnmower fixed. He says, son, I think we need to pray. And I'm so embarrassed because I didn't think about that. Here I am, a pastor, not even thinking about praying about the smallest things. And he's not meaning to be rebuking. He's rebuking me, and I need that rebuke. And so I'm sitting there like, Lord, I don't know what to do. And I'm too embarrassed to pray. I'll just say, I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it, Dad. But what I'm saying to you is that he turns it up. And Paul says, I don't want to leave you there. God hasn't left you to live this world that he says, I want you to know joy, his joy, and I want you to know it completely, and I want you to know it full. When you have anxiety, you can't know the joy of the Lord. Why am I emotional? Because I sense all that anxiety in myself, and I look back on my life and I think about, oh my word, all the times that I've not trusted God. All the times that I've tried to bear that on my that load on my own. It just wore me to just rivets. And God is kind enough and said, listen, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take your anxiety. I want you to bring it to me. And so I've done that. But he says, have you worshiped? Have you worshiped God? Have you worshiped me? And part of worship is what we've done today. It's telling him how worthy he is. Worthy of what? Of all praise. Of all glory. Do you go to God in prayer and tell him how wonderful he is, that he is merciful and loving and all-powerful and all-knowing and all-wise? He is a provider. He is protector. He is defender. He is everlasting. Thank God he is patient. Let him know that. Remind him, remind yourself that God is patient because he's sitting. Who is before him is an impatient person who has a lot of fears and worries that God doesn't want you to carry. If I know through my worship that God is mighty and he actually loves me like he loves his own son, if I am reminded that God is wise, powerful, all-knowing, that God is patient with me to come to him, if I am reminded of that, guess what? I have the full confidence that this thing that's going on in my life could be handled by God. And guess what has started happening? Your worry is subsiding. Why? Not because you just stopped worrying. It's because you started trusting. When worry comes, worship leaves. You understand that? You can't have both together. When worship comes, worry leaves. That's where he wants us this morning. I know that to be true. With all that is in me, I know God to be true, and I know what he is saying. And he leave on this. We will leave with this. I'm going to conquer. I'm going to deal with my worry through worship. We're going to start there, and we'll learn the rest of it next week, Lord willing. God, give us grace to hear. God, have mercy for us to apply. Let's pray together. You're good, God. I'm so grateful. So grateful to you. I'm so sorry for the